I can't tell you what that means, because I don't know what I am saying. All I can tell you, with my personal comments, is that the filaments are aware of themselves, alive and vibrating, that there are so many of them that numbers have no meaning, and that each of them is an eternity in itself.
Chapter 4. The Glow of Awareness. Don Juan, Don Genaro, and I had just returned from gathering plants in the surrounding mountains. We were at Don Genaro's house, sitting around the table, when Don Juan made me change levels of awareness. Don Genaro had been staring at me and began to chuckle. He remarked how odd he thought it was that I had two completely different standards for dealing with the two sides of awareness. My relation to him was the most obvious example. On my right side, he was the respected and feared sorcerer, Don Genaro, a man whose incomprehensible acts delighted me and at the same time filled me with mortal terror. On my left side, he was plain Genaro, or Genarito, with no don attached to his name, a charming and kind seer whose acts were thoroughly comprehensible and coherent with what I myself did or tried to do. I agreed with him and added that on my left side, the man whose mere presence made me shake like a leaf was Silvio Manuel, the most mysterious of Don Juan's companions. I also said that Don Juan, being a true Nagual, transcended arbitrary standards and was respected and admired by me in both states.
"But is he feared?"
Genaro asked in a quivering voice.
"Very feared,"
Don Juan interjected in a falsetto voice. We all laughed, but Don Juan and Genaro laughed with such abandon that I immediately suspected they knew something they were holding back. Don Juan was reading me like a book. He explained that in the intermediate stage, before one enters fully into the left side awareness, one is capable of tremendous concentration, but one is also susceptible to every conceivable influence. I was being influenced by suspicion.
"La Gorda is always at this stage," he said. "She learns beautifully, but she's a royal pain in the neck. She can't help being driven by anything that comes her way, including, of course, very good things, like keen concentration."
Don Juan explained that the new seers discovered that the transition period is the time when the deepest learning takes place, and that it is also the time when warriors must be supervised and explanations must be given to them so they can evaluate them properly. If no explanations are given to them before they enter into the left side, they will be great sorcerers, but poor seers, as the ancient Toltecs were. "Female warriors, in particular, fall prey to the lure of the left side," he said. "They are so nimble that they can go into the left side with no effort, often too soon for their own good." After a long silence, Genaro fell asleep. Don Juan began to speak. He said that the new seers had had to invent a number of terms in order to explain the second truth about awareness. His benefactor had changed some of those terms to suit himself, and he himself had done the same, guided by the seer's belief that it does not make any difference what terms are used as long as the truths have been verified by seeing. I was curious to know what terms he had changed, but I didn't know quite how to word my question. He took it that I was doubting his right or his ability to change them and explained that if the terms we propose originate in our reason, they can only communicate the mundane agreement of everyday life. When seers propose a term, on the other hand, it is never a figure of speech because it stems from seeing and embraces everything that seers can attain. I asked him why he had changed the terms.
"It's a Nagual's duty always to look for better ways to explain," he replied. "Time changes everything,
and every new Nagual has to incorporate new words, new ideas to describe his seeing.
Do you mean that a Nagual takes ideas from the world of everyday life? I asked.
No, I mean that a Nagual talks about seeing in ever new ways, he said. For instance, as the new Nagual, you'd have to say that awareness gives rise to perception. You'd be saying the same thing my benefactor said, but in a different way.
What do the new seers say perception is, Don Juan?
They say that perception is a condition of alignment. The emanations inside the cocoon become aligned with those outside that fit them. Alignment is what allows awareness to be cultivated by every living creature. Seers make these statements because they see living creatures as they really are, luminous beings that look like bubbles of whitish light.
I asked him how the emanations inside the cocoon fit those outside so as to accomplish perception.
The emanations inside and the emanations outside, he said, are the same filaments of light. Sentient beings are minute bubbles made out of those filaments, microscopic points of light, attached to the infinite emanations.
He went on to explain that the luminosity of living beings is made by a particular portion of the eagle's emanations they happen to have inside their luminous cocoons. When seers see perception, they witness that the luminosity of the eagle's emanations outside those creatures' cocoons brightens the luminosity of the emanations inside their cocoons. The outside luminosity attracts the inside one. It traps it, so to speak, and fixes it. That fixation is the awareness of every specific being. Seers can also see how the emanations outside the cocoon exert a particular pressure on the portion of emanations inside. This pressure determines the degree of awareness that every living being has. I asked him to clarify how the eagle's emanations outside the cocoon exert pressure on those inside.
The eagle's emanations are more than filaments of light, he replied. Each one of them is a source of boundless energy. Think of it this way. Since some of the emanations outside the cocoon are the same as the emanations inside, their energies are like a continuous pressure,